All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So, Yasha Kohachter, thank you to Baruch Fischl for organizing and choreographing our move up here. And for Ari Said for the coffee, the tissues, the rearranging of everything. And we embarked this morning, Baruch Hashem, on our last daf of Meseches Kiddushin. So we're picking up, today's daf is Pei Beis 82. Oh, thank you, thank you. We are picking up in Yeretz Hashem on Pei Aleph Amud Beis at the two dots, pretty much the middle of the page. Nisyachit Adam Imimo. So remember again, we learned in the Mishnah that a person is permitted to go ahead and be miyachid with his mother. Amrav Yehuda Amrav Asif, Nisyachim Adam Imachoso. A person is permitted to go ahead and have yichud with his sister, Vidar Imimo. That he's permitted to live with his mother, the imbido with his daughter. So Moses says, the idea we hear that Rabbi in name Ravasi is the following, that although a person could enjoy yichud with his sister, a person could go ahead and have yichud, but lamaisa, again, the Mishnah, the Gemara is saying, a person shouldn't live with his sister. A person, a single man, shouldn't live with his single sister for an extended period of time, even though he's permitted to go ahead and live with his mother and live with his daughter. Ki amra kamei b'shmuel, when the statement was said in front of Shmuel, Amar asra l'syachidim kalarayos shabatorah, afilin behemun. I will say, we're going to see now, Shmuel takes the most dramatic stance when it comes to yichud. And Shmuel says a person is not permitted to be miyachid, to have yichud, with any erva, with any of the arayos, including animals. Shmuel says that literally, again, a person should even try to avoid yichud with animals. Tanan, misyachim adamim imo. Well, again, we'll discuss why this is. Tanan, misyachim adamim imo v'in bito. A person is permitted to have yichud with his mother or with his sister. V'yashin imam b'kirav basar. And again, as we saw in the Mishnah, even up until a certain age, they're permitted to sleep next to each other, even if their skin is touching each other. V'tiyuv to the Shmuel. And ultimately, this refutes the position of Shmuel. Amar lecha Shmuel, ulatameich, according to your reasoning, ha'disanya achoso v'chamoso ushar kalaya shabbatorah in misyachid imam ela be'edin. Yet again, Shmuel says, there's another braisa, and the braisa says, whether it's one's sister, or whether it's one's mother-in-law, or any of the other arayos in the Torah, a person should not be misyachid, the person should not have yichud with them, unless, of course, ela be'edim, unless, of course, there are witnesses. Be'edimin, shelo be'edim lo, it's dafka with edim, but without edim, there should not be yichud. So Shmuel's bringing his braisa as a proof to his particular position. Ela tinoigi. Rather, says the Gemara, the entire matter is an issue, is a machlokes tanoim. Disanya, Amar Rabbi Meir, Hizaru bi mipnei biti. So now the Gemara quotes different tanoim who gave different charges. So Rabbi Meir, for example, said, Hizaru bi, be careful with me mipnei biti, because of my daughter. Which Rabbi means, Rabbi Meir is saying, I'm careful to even avoid yichud with my daughter. Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Hizaru mi mipnei kalasi. Rabbi Tarfon says, I am careful with my daughter-in-law. Now Rabbi said, it happens to be that daughter-in-law is one of the arayas where there is an iser yichud. So again, they're just pointing out that although these are familial relationships, they were still makbid, they were still careful to avoid yichud situations with these situations. So we'll say, listen to this. When Rabbi Meir Rabbi Tarfon said this, Ligleg Alav also Talmud, so there was a Talmud who was disparaging of this. So we'll say, can you imagine sitting in the base medrash? Rabbi Meir says, I'm careful to avoid yichud with my daughter. Rabbi Tarfon says, I'm careful to avoid yichud with my daughter-in-law. There's a Talmud that's sitting in the base medrash, and Ligleg, he made fun of it, meaning he was disparaging, he was mocking this, like, come on, that's absolutely ridiculous. What, you have to avoid yichud with your daughter, with your daughter-in-law? Let's listen to this. I'm Rabbi Avraham Mishrom Yechanina ben Gamliel. Lo hayu yamim mu'atim ad shenichshal oso talmid dechamoso. It was only a little while later that this Talmud committed an act of immorality with his mother-in-law. With his mother-in-law. They will say, now what's the point of the Gemara over here? The point the Gemara is making is like this, that this goes with the theme of yesterday also, that Lamaisa, a person has to be careful with matters of morality. And a person has to realize that as much as one thinks they may be above certain temptations, never leave anything to fate, so to speak. Take proper precautions on the front end to ensure that one leads a moral life, because one never knows what their true moral weaknesses are. Afilu im behema. So remember, again, Shmuel also made a very dramatic statement that one has to avoid yichud even with an animal. So Abaye michlal mikulei dabra. So when Abaye was in the field, he would remove animals from the entire field. Rav Sheshes ma'avir le mitzra. Rav Sheshes would go ahead and cross the animals over the bridge. In other words, he would again wouldn't stay in the same area as the animals. Rav Chanan minarda ikvel Rav Chanan lepomnara. So Rav Chanan of Narda once went to visit Rav Chanan in Pomnara. Chazye di yasev ikagaris. He saw that Rav Chanan was sitting and learning. The kaima behema kamei, and there were animals right in front of him. Amar le lo saver lo mar afilu in behema. So Rav Chanan said to Rav Kana, is the master not concerned with the fact that one is alone with the animals? Amar le lava datoi, I did not know. Rabbo said, now obviously Shmuel, see, understand that we're going to get to this more in the next Mishnah. Shmuel has a more dramatic concern. And Shmuel's concern is the following. Shmuel's issue is like this. Everyone agrees that there's an Isser Yichud, because at the end of the day, there's a concern that Lamaisa, a person will go ahead and... potentially violate one of the Arayos, one of the issues of morality. Shmuel takes this a step further, and Shmuel says that Lamaisa, there's even a concern alts bestiality. So that's how far Shmuel's concern regarding immoral conduct actually goes. So the Gemara says, so therefore that's the examples over here ultimately again of shtut. This is why Shmuel has this very dramatic approach in terms of Yichud, and holds that one has to try to avoid any kind of isolation with anything that is a potential issue of morality. Amar Rava, I will say, now Rava comes along and gives an exception to this rule, and he says, Misyachid Adam im shtei yevamos, v'im shtei tsaros, im isha v'chamosa, im isha ubas palen. I will say, if you remember again, going back to our yevamos days, so there are certain women who Chazal felt have an inherent animosity towards one another. So those women are two yevamos, two co-wives. So now what Rav is going to, so we'll go through the list. Rav is going to say, there is, remember, under normal circumstances, two women with one man is an Isser Yichud. So Rav is going to come along and say, however, if the two women are individuals who have an innate conflict one with the other, then Lamaisa, again, there's no Isser Yichud, which if you think about it logically is why, because at the end of the day, remember we saw that two women with one man, the concern is that they will be compliant with one another in the commission of an immoral act. If, however, there's an inherent animosity between the two women, then Lamaisa, again, there's no chashash of what we'll call immoral compliance. So therefore, Rava says, Misyachim Adam Mishnei Yevamos, a person could have yichud with two co-wives, meaning two women who are married to the same man, because lemaisa, again, there is no concern that they would go ahead and be in cahoots with each other. Im shtei tsaros, two co-wives. Im isha v'chamosa, a woman and her mother-in-law. Im isha ubas baila, a woman and the daughter of her husband. Again, I will say these are all considered to be animosity-filled relationships. Im isha v'tinokes sheldas tambia, ve'im mosaris atmelabia. Furthermore, with a woman and with a child who understands bia, who understands what relations are, but does not give herself over to relations. And I will say, now what that means is the following, that lamaisa, again, the child is old enough to know when something intimate is occurring, but the child himself does not yet have the Zahara to engage in relations themselves. So this in halacha is an interesting discussion in terms of how old exactly a child is. This is very much a societal issue as well, where at what age do children know when they see, when they perceive that something intimate is occurring? But lemaisa, if you have two women, or I should say one woman and one young child, but a child who's old enough to know what bia is or understand what intimacy is and would be able to see if two adults are engaging in something intimate, that ultimately also prevents a yichud situation from occurring. The Gemara goes weiter. Higdilu, ze yashe miksuso. So remember again, the Mishnah said that a father could sleep next to his daughter, or a mother could sleep next to her son, even bikirav basar, even with their flesh touching each other, but at a certain point in time when the child gets older, so ultimately this becomes prohibited. So asks the Gemara Vekama, so at what age should this practice be stopped? Amrav Ada Barav Aza, Amrav Asi, Tinokes Bas Teisha Shana V'Yomechad. So for a girl, it's 9 years old in one day. Once she reaches the age of 9 years old in one day, she should only sleep with clothing if she's going to sleep in the same bed as her father. And for a boy, 12 years old in one day. Others say, others say for a girl, it's 12 years old in one day. And for a boy, it's 13 years old in one day. And both of these children, so we'll say both of these, where do these ages come from? These are the ages the Gemara felt is when physical maturation begins to occur. So at the point that physical maturation begins to occur, then lemaisa, again, that's the age where ultimately the boy and the girl should go ahead and begin to sleep with clothing when sleeping with parents. We'll say further, another indicator is, does the child have embarrassment about standing before the parent naked? So if the child is embarrassed to stand in front of the parent naked, then lemaisa, that's an indication that what? That's an indication that lemaisa, the child already, well, we'll see, about bo shalam the fun of arum, so we'll say, so when could the child sleep next to the parent, even in an unclothed state? That's only if the child is not embarrassed to be naked in front of the parent. However, aval bo shalam the fun of arum, but if the child is embarrassed to stand in front of the parent naked, usr, then ultimately, again, it is usr for the parent and the child to sleep together without clothing. My time, but what's the reason? Yetzer al bashar. Well, this is very interesting. So you see this, right? In young children who have no inhibitions, ultimately, again, about walking around without clothing. And then as children reach a certain age, they do. The Gemara attributes that to the Yetzer al bashar, the Yetzer hara. It wasn't that. It doesn't mean that the child has a Yetzer hara for bia or for relations or for any illicit activity. What it means ultimately is that the child has more of like a sexual awareness. Even if the child themselves doesn't actually realize what it is that their awareness is, but at a certain age, there's a certain body image recognition, there's a certain understanding that certain parts should be covered, that certain things should be... So therefore, at that age, when a child realizes that there's a discomfort in being unclothed in front of the parent, that's the age ultimately when Chazal would say that parent and child, if they're going to sleep in the same bed, should sleep with clothing. Ravacha Ra'ava Iklulebe Rav Chista Chasnei. That was a very interesting sugya. Ravacha Ra'ava so went to the house of Rav Chista, his son-in-law. Shakle Labat Barte. Shakle Labas Barte Osvu Bekanfei. So we'll say this is very interesting. So Ravacha is the father-in-law of Rav Chista. Rav Acha goes to his son-in-law's house and he sees his granddaughter. So what does he do? He picks up his granddaughter. Now, Osva Bekanfei literally means he put her in the cloak, in the corner of his garment. Now, there's machlokas exactly what this means. The Tosfos Sri Hazaken on the side over here says, Shiyashan Ima Bekirav Basar. He slept with her in the same bed. She was a little girl, slept with her in the same bed. Others say that what it means is he put her on his lap. Amarle, Lo Savar Lamar Dimekadsha. So Rav Chista, the son-in-law, the father of the girl, said to his father-in-law, Rav Acha Bar Abba, the grandfather of the girl, what are you doing? Like, she's Mikudeshes. I betrothed her. In other words, remember, a father has the ability to betroth his minor daughter. She's Mikudeshes. So what are you doing by engaging in this behavior with her? Amarle, Avart L'chadrav. So to which the Zega, to which Rav Acha Bar Abba said to his son-in-law, Rav Chista, you violated the statement of Rav, because what does Rav say? Da'amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, V'itema Rabbi Eliezer, Asra li Adam Shikadish Esbito Kishi Kitano Ad Shetagdil V'tomar Beploni Ani Rotsa. So we had this in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, that although technically speaking on a biblical level, a father has the right to go ahead and what? Father has the right to go ahead and be Mekadish his minor daughter. Chazal said, don't do it. Chazal said, you shouldn't do it until what? Until the girl has the ability to say, I want to marry this person. In other words, as much as a father has the right to marry off his minor daughter, he shouldn't do it until she expresses her interest in marrying a particular man. So therefore, again, so the father-in-law, Rav Acha, is giving mussar to the son-in-law, Rav Chista, about his actions. So to which Rav Chista says, Amar Nami Aver Le'ad Shmuel. So Rav Chista says, well, excuse me, father-in-law, right? Rav Acha, you're also in violation of the words of Rav Chista. What did Rav Chista say? Excuse me, of Shmuel. Da'amar Shmuel, in mishtam shen v'isha. Well, say, if you remember again, Shmuel said, one should not make use of a woman. Remember, we had that Gemara back on Ayin Amud Aleph, and there Rashi says, what do you mean, imishtam shen b'isha? So Shmuel's statement was meant that one should limit one's interactions with women. One should, and specifically again, even with young girls, and Rashi said the idea was there, shelo yilamdena lihios regila bein ha'anoshim. This is atzachinuch for the girls. That again, it should limit your interactions with the young girls, that the young girls shouldn't constantly always be around men. Because the concern is that if she becomes habitual, that she's only interacting with men, that it can lead her ultimately to engage in illicit activity. So even though this is your granddaughter, shouldn't you limit your level of interactions? So listen to this, Amalei, to which the Zayda Rav Acha responded, Amalei ki idach de Shmuel sfirli. I also hold like the other position of Shmuel, Damer Shmuel, top of Pei Beis Rabosai, Hakol L'Shem Shamayim. That Shmuel said that at the end of the day, it is permitted as long as one's intentions are for the sake of heaven. Now, what does this mean? This is actually quite amazing. So Rashi says over here, top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph, Hakol L'Shem Shamayim, Ve'in Da'ati Achara L'Chibas Ishus, when I am holding my granddaughter close, there's not a marital love that's being expressed here. Ella lechibas karva. Rather, this is a love of closeness. Velaasos koras ruach liima kashin lechave vesbita. So I said, listen to what Rav Acha responded. So Rav Acha responded, do you want to know why I let my granddaughter lay down with me, or I let her sit on my lap? Do you want to know why? It's because at the end of the day, when I do that, it gives my daughter, the girl's mother, incredible happiness. When she sees that I take such an interest in my granddaughter, who is her daughter, that gives her an incredible sense of nachas, an incredible sense of happiness. So therefore, says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, yes, in mishtam shen b'isha, one should try to go ahead and limit interactions with the opposite gender, but when it's the shem shamayim, when ultimately, again, it's for some greater good, or I should say, for some mitzvah purpose, then ultimately it's permitted. So we'll say, you see from here, now, again, if we have time, we might actually focus on this. We're focusing on Shavuos night, on understanding the scope and the depth of rabbinic authority. That's what we're talking about. Dine d'rabbanon. When Chazal the ability to legislate, what rabbinic enactments mean? Do they expire? Do they remain on the books? So this is one of these examples of here. You have a rabbinic enactment that says in mishtam shen b'isha, right? Limit interactions, but yet the shakol l'shem shamayim. When it's l'shem shamayim, what does l'shem shamayim mean? So it sounds like mitzvah purpose. Now here is giving nachas to your daughter by having a relationship with your granddaughter. Is that a mitzvah? I don't know, it's certainly not one of the 613. It's certainly a good thing. But I will say what comes out from this particular sugya is this concept that interactions with the other gender, when there is some type of higher purpose, a mitzvah purpose, so it's going to be permitted. Just so you should know, if you want to hear a cute application of this, this is why, by the way, this is the concept of the mitzvah tants. Right? If you think about it again, so the concept, especially in Hasidic circles, about dancing with the kala, even those who are not, you know, depending on the Hasidic circle, will determine the length of the gartel between, you know, between the kala and between the person dancing with her. But where does that come from? It's such a strange idea that people are dancing with the kala. That's part of this idea of a kol l'shem shamayim. The idea is that when the chassan sees, ultimately, again, that people are noticing his kala, so that ultimately creates a certain level of chavivas, a certain level of love, for between the chassan and the kala as well. So there are many different applications of this idea, but the point that Rav Acha is coming along and saying is that l'maisa, again, as much as there's a din of limiting interactions, but when there's a l'shem shamayim idea, then ultimately it's permitted. Says the Mishnah. But so now we come to the last Mishnah, second last Mishnah. Second last Mishnah. Lo yilamid adam ravak svarim sofrim velo tilmat isha sofrim. We'll say a man should not be a teacher, a single man should not be a teacher of small children. Velo tilmat isha sofrim. Nor should a woman be a teacher of small children. We'll discuss why that is. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ach mi she'en lo isha lo yilmat sofrim. So too, even someone who's not married should also not teach children, small children. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yira Ravak Behema. Rabbi Yehuda says a single man shouldn't be a shepherd. V'lo yishnu shnei ravakim etal hazechad. And two single men should not share a blanket. V'chacham matir. And the chachamim ultimately permit this. Says the Gemara, my taima. Now what's the reason why a single man can't teach young children? Ilema Mishum Yanuki, if you want to say it's because Chas V'Shalom were concerned that the teacher is going to abuse the children, meaning maybe because if a man is single, he doesn't have a permitted outlet for his desires, and maybe we're concerned he's going to do something with the children. V'hatanya, Amru lo v'Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechshedu Yisrael, al mishkav zachar. But Rabbi says, it's very important, Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda said, that Klal Yisrael are not nechshad. Klal Yisrael, ultimately, again, are not, we don't suspect them of engaging in homosexual behavior. V'lo ala behema, nor do we suspect, see, Rabbi, here's what's interesting. See, for Klal Yisrael, right, we suspect normal, what we'll call, is going to sound strange, normal illicit behavior. So what's normal illicit behavior? So normal illicit behavior ultimately, again, is men with women. But abnormal illicit behavior, we do not go ahead and suspect. So homosexuality, we're not going to suspect. Bestiality, we're not going to suspect. Ella ravak mishum amsa diyanuki. So if that's the case, so what is the problem? Why is it that lamaisa, again, we don't want a single man being a teacher of young children, because a single man often is going to be alone with the mothers, right? Because again, there's parent-teacher conferences or whatever else, and therefore the mice, again, we don't, because it's young children, the mothers are often there, and therefore we don't want the single teachers interacting with the young children. Rabbi Eliezer, Isha Mishum Avsadinuki. Similarly, again, we don't want a single woman going ahead and teaching young children, also because of the fathers of the children. So both said the idea is when it comes to young children, there's a lot of interactions with the parents, and therefore Lamaisa, again, we don't want there to be any type of illicit behavior. Belezer Omer Atmi Shein. So Belezer says even someone who doesn't have a wife should not go ahead and be a teacher of young children. Is it talking about someone who's not married at all? Or perhaps it's just talking about someone whose wife is not with him? Tashma, af mishi yeshlo ve'ino shuriya etzlo, lo yomatz ofrim. To which the Gemara says, even someone who has a wife, but whose wife is not living with him, should not be a teacher of young children. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yira. So we'll say the idea over here is, you see, Chazal are going to great lengths to protect the interests of young children, understanding the vulnerability of young children, understanding how easily young children can be taken advantage of, and therefore want to make sure that only the people of the highest moral caliber are in the classroom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yira. So Rabbi Yehuda says that a single man should not be a shepherd. Tanya Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda lo nechshidu Yisrael mishkav zachar v'la ala behema. So both, I remember the Chazal countered, and Chazal said that Klal Yisrael are not nechshad, they're not suspected for engaging in homosexual activity and not in bestiality as well. So therefore, Rabbi, you should know that Lamaisa, as much as the Rambam accepts the first two statements of the Mishnah, that ideally you shouldn't have a single man teaching young children or a single woman teaching young children. Rabbi says, now obviously this is talking about, we're not going to get into the specifics of this, but this is also talking about from a different model where often teachers were educating children in their own homes. Right, not necessarily in an organized classroom, not necessarily in a school. This is an organized home where there's the ability to be isolated with children, there's the ability to be isolated with the other parents. But Lamaisa, again, this last piece, which is very important, is we accept the position of the Rabbanan over Rabbi Yehuda, namely that Lamaisa, we're not choshesh for bestiality and we're not choshesh for homosexuality. Says the Mishnah, kol sha'asakav im anashim. So remember, the Mishnah says over here, any person whose livelihood deals with women. Meaning, let's say a person's parnosa deals with something that's a service for women. So what happens? Lo yisachi dimanasha. A person has to be very careful not to be isolated together with women. Velo yamad adam espino umnus hanashim. And a person ultimately should not go ahead and teach his son a trade that requires him to constantly deal with women. So what's that? The idea is that a person, when choosing a career, should try to find something that doesn't always put him in close proximity or close contact with women. Rabbi Meir Omer, li'olam yilamit adam esbino umnus, nikia v'kala. Well, says, just again, you should know, the Gemara is going to switch gears a little bit now, but I will say, can't stress enough You know, often when we see, if we're amongst friends, so we could talk openly and honestly. You know, often when we hear some of these discussions about separations between men and women, so often we assume that it's a bit archaic and outdated and reflective of social norms. So we'll say Chazal knew what they were talking about. And of course, there's a healthy balance. You have to know how to interact with the opposite gender. You have to know how to be able to have normal relationships with women. And women have to know how to have normal relationships with men. Of course, there's a balance. I will say, but Chazal understood that the propensity and the ability for illicit things to occur is so intense that a person has to put up in life the right kind of gidarim, the right type of protective fences. And if a person thinks that they're beyond temptation, a person thinks that they're beyond the reach of anything illicit or anything, bless you, or anything immoral, they're fooling themselves. And that's why Chazal is saying over here, even in the way we raise our children, we have to be careful to raise our children with the right kind of sensitivities. Even when choosing a parnasa, make sure to don't train my child in a parnasa where ultimately he's always going to have to face temptation. Try to gear him towards something ultimately, again, where he'll be able to lead a moral life. He goes on, now the Gemara started speaking about parnasa, the Gemara said, Rabbi Meir Omer, Li'olam yilamet adam esbino umnus nikia v'kala. A person, Rabbi Meir says, a person should teach, this is actually an interesting statement, a person should teach his son a clean trade v'kala, and something easy. The key of the kala, right? What's it sounds good. Rashi says over here, now what does it mean, the key of the kala? Look at, I'm sorry. Social security, right, whatever you fill in the blank. Nikiya v'kala, look at Rashi. He's a Mefarish B'Gemara Shapir. Now we'll discuss what Nikiya and Kala mean. Nikiya means clean, Kala means easy. But look what Rashi says over here. What's the point that Rami is making? V'lo yomar, v'lo al yomar b'libo umnus zu eina na'asheres. What Rami is saying is like this. See, sometimes a person says, well, you know, look, I would like to go into this field, but this field doesn't make any money. But there's another field, but you know what? It puts me around all kinds of people, and it's not a good environment, but I can make a lot of money. So Rashi, so what Rami is saying is, understand one thing. Your money doesn't come from your career choice. Your money comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. So if I think that by compromising certain aspects of my morality, if I think that by subjecting myself to negative influences, I'm going to make more money, I'm sadly mistaken. By trying to live a moral life, by trying to go ahead and, yes, earn a parnasa, but maintain my ruchnius, that's ultimately, again, how a person makes a good parnasa. So we'll define this more. V'yispalu misha osher v'nechasim shalo. And a person should daven to the one whom all wealth and whom all property belongs. Shein umnos shein ba'anius ha'ashirus. Rabbi said, this is amazing. Because there's no such thing as a profession. Rabbi said, you can see this. There's no such thing as a profession that's a guarantee. There's no such thing as a profession that doesn't have people who are very rich and who are very poor. Shalo anius mina umnos v'la ashiras minum. Because you're supposed to, at the end of the day, your success or your failure is not from your career choice. Ela hakol lefi zechuso. Everything is according to your merits. So we'll say, and it's true, you see this ma'isim b'chol yom. You see two people in the same exact field. One is wildly successful, one is not. And then you see people like who are in, you hear what somebody does for a living, and you see Baruch Hashem that they're very successful. And you wonder, like, I never knew that someone who does that could actually make money. Right? Because l'maisim, and then someone who's very accomplished, very educated, a lot of letters in front and back, and all these kind of things, hey, it's whatever. They're fine. Amazing Yisod. Why? Because says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Meir, at the end of the day, Amius and Ashiris is not from your career choice. Anius and Ashiris is from the Ribono Shel Olam, and it ultimately is directly tied to the Zechuyos you have. El HaKolofi Zechuso, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ra'isi, listen to this, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Ra'isi Miyamecha, Chaya Va'ov Shiishlem Umnos, Vein Esparnesin Shlo Betzar. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, had you ever seen a bird or an animal that has an umnus that learned to trade, and yet they obviously the answer to that is no, and yet Baruch Hashem they have what they need without any tsar. V'halo lo nivro el l'sham sheni, and yet Rav Shimon says all of those creatures were created to serve me. V'ani nivreis l'sham eshes koni, and I was created to serve my master. Eino din she'es panesh shelo b'tsar. So Rav Shimon advances a very interesting argument. He says if the birds and the animals which were created to serve me are able to find their parnasa without tsar, then I, who was created to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, should be able to find my parnasa without tsar as well. But parnasa does come with tsar. Ella,
Shohara'asi ma'asai v'kapachti is parnasasi. Rather, Shimon Alod says, when I struggle with my parnasa, it's ultimately because my actions are negative, and I myself have limited my ability to earn. Abagurion ish tzadion omrishum abagurion. Lo yomad adam espino chamar gamal kedar. So Rabbi say, now the Mishnah goes through certain professions you shouldn't teach your son. Sabagurion from Sidon said the name of abagurion. A person should not teach his son to be a camel driver, a donkey driver. A kedar is a wagon driver, a safan, a sailor, roe, a shepherd, chen v'ni, a storekeeper. I don't know what's left, but because Rabbi said all of these people cheat. All of these people are dishonest in some way. All these people are dishonest in some way. Now Rashi, we don't have time for it now, but Rashi goes on and explains how each of these people ultimately, again, are dishonest in some ways. The Chamar, Gamal, Safan, Kedar, these individuals ultimately, again, because they travel a lot, ultimately go out and sometimes takes from things that are not theirs. The shepherd allows his flocks to graze on other people's property. The storekeeper sometimes is not honest with his weights and measures. So the Gemara, Rabbi Huda Mishmo, Hachamar and Ruben Rishon, Vagamal and Ruben Ksherim. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, says, no, donkey drivers, the majority of them are wicked. Camel drivers, the majority of them are kosher. Safanin, sailors, Ruban Chasidim. Rabbi Huda, listen to this, the majority of sailors are righteous, are pious, right, Rabbi Osai? Why? Makes a lot of sense. Because travel by sea was very dangerous. Rabbi Osai, brother, where do you see this? You see this example, it's in Tanakh. Yonah, right? What happens by Yonah when the boat is about to capsize? The only one who's not davening on the boat is Yonah. Everyone else is davening. Now, granted, they're davening to their idolatry, but Lamai said they're davening. So sailors are very pious. Tov Sheberofim Legehenim. Right, even the best of doctors go to Gehenna. Don't worry, doctors. We're gonna right. It's good company, right? But we're gonna discuss what this means. The kosher shebetabachim. Ultimately, again, the best of butchers. The best. First off, if you just take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi's tov shebro from the Gehenna. Eino yorem min achole, because doctors often don't fear illness. Uma'acholo ma'achol b'riim, they eat well. Ve'eino mishaber liban l'makom. Both say, you know what Rashi says? You know what tov shebro from the Gehenna means? That doctors could sometimes have an inflated sense of self, a certain arrogance that they, because, and understandably so, a doctor is a healer. Sometimes when you see what doctors are able to do, what science is able to do, it's amazing. You could easily become a Baal Gaiva. You could easily get your God complex. Look at me. I am a healer of the sick. So because I have that koach, I need not rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the Mishnah says, the better you are, the more prone a person is, the more prone a doctor is to that God complex, to that arrogance, and ultimately runs the risk of going to Gehenim. HaKosher Shebetabachim, the best of butchers, Shutfo Shalamalek, is a partner of Malek. Now, what does it mean, Tov Shebetabachim? Butchers have an incredible Yetzirah. The Yetzirah ultimately of butchers is that if they have an animal that's a trefa, remember again, that represents a huge financial loss. So because of that, again, sometimes they'll be tempted not to go ahead and deal honestly. So the Gemara goes, Rabbi Noroi Omer, Maniach ani kol umnu sheba olam ve'eni melamed es bini el Torah. Listen to this. Rabbi Noroi says, you know, after reading this Mishnah, and it's kind of like Mishnaic job fair over here. You know, so nothing really comes out looking all that good. So Rabbi Noroi says, you know, I have decided, Maniach ani kol umnu sheba olam, I set aside all trades in the world, ve'eni melamed es bini el Torah. And I've decided to have my child focus on Torah. Listen to how beautiful this statement is. Sha'adam ochel mischara ba'olam hazeh, because a person has the ability to eat from its merits in this world. Va'keren kayemus the olam haba. And it's, but the Karen, the principle, is still in existence in the world to come. In other words, that you go ahead and you get reward in this world and the next. Ushar kala omnus enoke. Rabbi says it's a very profound mussar. And every other parnasa is not like this. Why? Ki sha'adam bali de choli, oli de zikna, oli de yisurin, ve'en liyach alasog b'malachto, harehu meis b'ra'av. So Rabbi says, no matter how good you are at your career, when you can no longer do it, you're done. You're done. When you can no longer be a good doctor, a good lawyer, a good accountant, whatever it is that you are, whatever it is that you do in life, when you are too sick or you're too old or you no longer have the ability to do it, you no longer have the benefits of that career. However, the Torah ain't okay. Rabbi said, Torah is not like that. Ella mishamarto mikora b'nurasso, but rather again, Torah watches you from all evil in your youth. V'nosenas to acharis hetikla b'ziknuso, and the beauty, brother, is that Torah gives you an acharis. Torah gives you a future and hope in your old age. B'na'aruso mahu omer, what does it say in one's youth? V'kovei Hashem yachalifu koach, those who put their trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find renewed strength. B'ziknuso mahu omer, what about in his old age? What does it say? O yunuvun b'seva. Ultimately, we will be fulfilled, or for fruitful, I should say, in our old age. What does it mean? Avram was old, and Hashem blessed him with everything. Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah even before it was given. Because Avram Avinu listened to my voice, and he kept all of my mitzvos, my statutes, and my Torah. So what I see, amazing Mishnah. So you see over here this tension. On one hand, Chazal telling us, make sure that when you choose a parnasa, you choose something about like the most important thing in life when choosing a career is making sure that what you do for a living aids your ruchnius and does not detract from your ruchnius. Because if what a person does for a living diminishes my spirituality, I'm in big trouble, because we all spend a lot of time on our career, right? You know, people used to say 9 to 5. The truth is no one works 9 to 5. People work much, much longer. And if what I'm doing for a living to generate parnasa is not something that helps me in my ruchnius, I'm in big trouble. So therefore, a person has to have a parnasa, but one's ruchnius, one must factor into what one does for a living as well. Rabbi Noura is saying, okay, you're going to have a parnasa, that's fine. But at the end of the day, know what's going to pay you dividends in life. What's going to pay you dividends in life is not your career. What's going to pay you dividends in life is the Torah you learn and the spirituality you cultivate. Says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanon. Kol she'asaka b'manashim sura ra. So we'll say anyone whose livelihood requires him to constantly interact with women is going to get himself into trouble. Kigon, hatsarfim, vasrikin. So these are different trades. Sarfin is like a goldsmith, person who made jewelry. Srikim Rashi says over here, Sorik Begadim. He was someone who used to literally comb fabric for clothing. Clothing maker. Nikuros, Rashi says over here, Nikuros are Minakri Rechaim Shalyad. Hand mill cleaners. A hand mill was like a little mill that a person used to have in the house. So the hand mill cleaners would come to the homes to go ahead and clean out the hand mills. So they'd have a lot of interaction with women. Harochlin, spice peddlers, hagardim, weavers, saparim, barbers, kovsim, launderers, hagara, Rashi says, is a blood letter, vahabalon, bathhouse attendants, vahabursiki, and ultimately tanner. So we'll say all of these are the type of trades where a person would interact frequently with women. And what the Mishnah is saying is just understand that if you're interacting frequently with women, the statistical probability that one is going to get themselves into trouble is there. If a person has any of these traits, they cannot become king, nor can they be appointed to be the Kohen Gadol. My time, and now what's the reason? Based on what we just said before, one would have been tempted to say maybe it's an issue of morality. Lo mishum de psile. I'm sorry, lo mishum de psile. It's not because they're apostle. El mishum de zil umunusayu. Rather, I will say because these occupations, these trades, were considered to be lowly trades. So because of that, I will say, if someone's going to be king, someone's going to be Kohen Gadol, it can't just be that suddenly they're elevated to a newfound position of prominence, but rather, again, they must have done something prominent in their previous life as well. So we'll say, out of all of these, the ones that resonates most with us, of course, is what? Is the tanner, right? If you ever gone to a tannery, there is no more terrible smell than going to a tannery. And remember, the problem with a tanner is that over time, you begin to absorb some of that stench as well. If you remember, again, in Maseches Megillah, we discussed the interesting sugya about whether or not a kohen who is a tanner is permitted to duchen. And there the issue was because of the smell, because of an issue of the smell. In any event, says the Gemara, if somebody did any of these occupations in his past life, he cannot go on to become a king, and he cannot go on to become a kohen gadol. So the Gemara goes back to Tan Rabbanon. Asar dvarim ne'emru bigara. There are 10 things that were said about someone who's a bloodletter. I mean, this is his occupation. He does bloodletting. Mahalech atzido. He walks on his side. Both say walking on his side means he walks with, I don't know what bless you, he walks like with a strut, meaning he walks in an arrogant way. Now, again, understand, the bloodletter also was someone who, remember, in the times of Chazal was also had like a doctor type status. So because of that, he was also considered to be a healer. These were people who were very prone ultimately to arrogance. He used to walk on his side. Viruach gasa, he's very arrogant. Vinitla v'yoshev, he always sat reclining, which apparently, again, always doing that, was considered to be a show of arrogance. Ve'ino tsara, he was very stingy. Ve'ino ra, he always looks down on other people. Ochaharbe, he eats a lot. Umotzi kima, but excretes a little. So we'll say, so apparently what that has to do with is the following. Apparently, when you go ahead and you eat very high quality food, so I guess there's more to digest and the body has less to excrete. When you go ahead and you eat low quality food, so the body excretes more. So he always eats only the finest foods. The chashid al arayis, he's chashid that he's an immoral individual, because remember, as a bloodletter, he often made house calls and often did bloodletting for women alone in their homes. Va'al agezel, he's also choshesh for theft. Va'al shvichus damim, and he's choshesh for murder. I will say, why is choshesh for murder? Because sometimes, you know, if he was checking his email during the bloodletting, right, and you know, let it go a little too long, so lemaisa, again, he could be responsible for someone's death. Darash bar kafra, li'olam yilamid admas bino umnus nikiya bakala. So remember, bar kafra said a person should teach his son an umnus, a trade that is nikiya, that is clean and kala and easy. So my yes, so all of us are waiting with bated breath. Right, what is this? Right, tell us what is this parnasa? Amar Rabbi Yehuda says mechta de talmi yusa. So we'll say one who knows how to stitch in furrows. So apparently, if you look at Rashi, Rashi is a tailor, but a specific kind of tailor. Machta talamius, Rashi says, machat talamius. So we'll say machat means sewing, talamius means furrows. Call something in French, shatfiros asuyos talamim talamim, shuros shuros kitlam shalmacharish. So we'll say apparently there's a type of stitching called furrowed stitching, where what you do is you keep on making the same stitch over and over and over, and they're a line, like furrowed stitching. So this is a good parnasa. It's nikia, it's clean, and it's kala, and it's easy. Now, what the earning capacity is, you know, the Gemara doesn't say, but again, remember, this is all going with the hashkafa, that at the end of the day, your earning capacity, people make the mistake of thinking that your earning capacity is linked to your career choice. It's not true. Your earning capacity is linked to your personal piety. And therefore, again, a person could choose a parnasa or a trade that does not generate a huge parnasa. But again, if they're pious, then obviously we're going to adopt some type of middle-of-the-road approach. There are certain parnasas, there are certain livelihoods that ultimately generate a certain amount of money, and they're not going to generate more. But the idea over here that the Chazal tried to express to us is, make sure that whatever parnasa you're going to choose is something that preserves your spiritual. I will say this is very important. How many people go into the workforce, you know, in on a spiritual high, and just in a couple of years later, because of a whole variety of things, are in such a low point? But you also say, it makes sense. If I'm spending, we'll call it 9 to 5, if I'm spending 9 to 5, 8 to 6, 7 to 10, whatever your hours, in a work environment that is not spiritually friendly, no matter, okay, I come to shir in the morning or I learn a little bit at night, it's nice that I have the bookends, but if the work environment itself is something that is most, something that is disgusting, so how could I not have an impact on who I am? So Chazal is just saying is, at the end of the day, when choosing a career, yes, we have to focus on earning capacity, because we all have to make money, and as from Jews, we have to try to make a lot of money. That's the reality, but make sure that wherever you're spending your time is not a religiously hostile environment. Because if it is, I'm going to go down with the religious shit. He goes on, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Ein lecha umnos sha'overes min ha'olam. So this is a very profound statement. Rabbi says, there is no such thing as a profession that leaves this world. In other words, Every profession remains in existence. Ashrei mi sheroes horov bu'umnus ma'ula. Boss says a very beautiful Gemara. Praiseworthy is the person who saw his parents have a good profession. Meaning, praiseworthy is the person who saw his parents, Baruch Hashem, engaged in an honorable profession. Oilo lemi sheroes horov bu'umna paguma. Woe to the person who ultimately has to see his parents in a compromised profession. I will say, now this is true on two levels. This is true because often a child has respect for a parent when they see the parent be a hardworking, honest, upright individual. So it's good for the parent-child relationship when the child sees the parent engaged in a proper career, in a proper profession. But also more than that is that, remember, the greatest role models for our children are us, right? The parent is always the greatest role model. And remember, again, we all know this, you remember very little of what your parent says, but you absolutely remember a lot of what you saw your parent do. It's an incredible yisod. Our children see where we work, our children see what we do, our children see how we leave, and our children see how we come home. Our children see what we do in the morning before we go to work, they see what we do in the evenings after we come home from work, and that's ultimately, those are the most incredible and profound examples we set for our children. So praiseworthy is the person who saw his parents occupied. It doesn't say that they made a lot of money. It just says praiseworthy is the child who saw the parents engaged in a proper profession, in a proper life, in a lifestyle where their profession supported their ruchnios, and not chas v'shalom undermined it. The Gemara says, "Yafshar li olam b'labosim u'laborsiki." The world cannot survive without a perfumer and without a tanner. You understand those are two opposite poles, right? The perfumer always smells good. The tanner stinks to high heaven. Ashrei mishu umnasa b'sam va'ayla l'mishu umnasa borsiki. Praiseworthy is the one who's a perfumer, and woe to the one who's a tanner. Both, so you understand, this Gemara isn't, if we had more time, we can get into all of this. This is a profound metaphor. It's a profound metaphor. Life is really a choice between being a perfumer and a tanner. Praiseworthy is if you become a perfumer, woe if you become a tanner. You'll bring home money. You'll bring home money for both. But at the end of the day, praiseworthy is the one who's able to lead a fragrant life. The world can't exist without boys and without girls. Ashrei mi shebanav zecharim, praiseworthy is the one who has sons. Va'aylo lemi shebanav nekevos, and woe to the ones who has daughters. Nevosai, so instead the Marashah comments says, what is this? Nevosai, so any father of daughters could tell you exactly what this Gemara means as a father of four daughters, is sons pretty much, you know, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Meaning, you know, I don't know where they are. I don't know where they are. It's fine. They're going to come home because they're going to get hungry. So they're going to come home. They are going to get home. They're going to, at some point, they're going to have to come home. But say, girls, you're constantly preoccupied with their safety. Constantly wondering, what are they doing? What are they up to? Are they going to be okay? Is someone going to make a nasty statement? Is someone going to this? Do they feel good about their outfit? Not feel good about their outfit? The boys, they're mismatched, wearing two different shoes, you know, and they're happy and they're fine and the slobs, but they're great. Everything with the girl, girls are so fragile, so fragile. So a father literally spends his life, and a mother spends her life, worrying about girls. So Chazal are saying, you know what? If you have boys, you have a lot less, you have a lot to worry about on many different levels. But in terms of just the day-to-day, there's less to worry about. But girls, constant preoccupation, constant worry. Rabbi Meir Omer, the olam yilamit adon livno umnus nekiya v'kala. So Rabbi Meir says, a person should teach his son an umnus nekiya v'kala, a good and clean, an easy and clean livelihood. And a person should ask rachamim, should ask compassion from the one who is the owner of all wealth and all property. She'in anios min ha'umnos ve'in ashiros min ha'umnos. Because Rabbi say poverty and wealth are not from your trade. Elamisha osha shalom. But rather, again, wealth and poverty comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'ne'emar liya kesev liya azob ne'um Hashem tzavakos. Rabbi shalom says, I own all the gold, I own all the silver. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, im ra'isi miyamechas. Rabbi say, turn to Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, miyamai lo ra'isi tzvikayit va'aris sabal v'shulchan v'ni. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, you know, I never saw a deer who dries figs. And I was about to say, kayak is a profession of a, I don't know what you call it, a fig dryer. Someone who would take figs, they would spread it out in the field under the sun. The figs would dry out, and then you'd be able to store them. So Rabbi Shimon says, you know, I never saw a deer who was a fig dryer. I never saw a lion who was a porter. Savam is someone who carries packages. Shu'al chenbeni, I never saw a fox who was a storekeeper. And yet, vehin misparnasin shelo b'tzar. And yet, somehow, all of these animals make their parnasa without any tzar, without any pain. Vehem lo nivru el l'shamshini. And yet, they were only created to serve me. Va'ani nivresi l'shamish eskoni. I was created to serve my master. Ma'elu shol nivru el l'shamshini misparnasin shlo b'tzar. So if these creatures, which are only created to serve me, are able to be supported without any tzar, va'ani shenivrasi l'shamish eskoni eno din shesparan shlo tzar. So I was created to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I should also be able to make my parnasa without tzar. Ella shahara asi Shahare OCS Maasai, Viki Pachtias Parnasasi. Rather, it must be that the reason I struggle with my Parnasa, says Reb Shimon Elazar, is because my actions are not correct. I engaged in evil actions, and therefore, again, I have stymied my Parnasa. Shine Amar, the Pasuk says, Avonosechem Hitu. In other words, Rebosa, what Reb Shimon Elazar is saying is the following, that the natural order of the world should be that Parnasa should come relatively easily. We know this, by the way. This was the way the world was supposed to work. Parnasa was supposed, you're supposed to put in effort, you always have to put in effort. When you put in effort, the results will come. Remember, part, when Reb Shimon Elazar says that here, if I'm struggling with my Parnasa, it's because of my Chatam. Rabbi Osei, he doesn't necessarily refer to my individual Chatam. What is he referring to? Adam Arishon. What's one of the repercussions of Adam Arishon's sin? B'zeh sapecha toch alechem. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam, listen, you're going to have to sweat, and not only that, you're going to go ahead and sometimes plant certain things. V'kotz v'dardar tetzmach. Part of the chait of Adam Arishon is, supposed to say, the way the world was supposed to work is, when you put in effort, you will get equal results. As much effort as you put in, you will get equal results. The way the world works post Adam Arishon's sin is, you could put in a huge amount of effort, and what? And what? Get virtually nothing back. That's the curse of Adam Arishon. That's what Shimon Elazar is saying, is when I look at the animal kingdom, I see the way the world was supposed to work, right? A cow always has grass. The deer always has what it needs. The bird always finds what it needs. Their parnasa comes, quote-unquote, easy. Is that not the way it was supposed to be for us as well? Of course it was, because they're just here to serve me. I'm here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My parnasa should come easy as well. Ella, this is the fallout of the sin of Adam Arishon. This is the fallout of Bezias HaPach HaTocha Alechem. Therefore, Abba said we have to just simply manage the fallout. The way we manage the fallout is, we have to work hard, we have to work long hours, we have to put an incredible amount of effort. Just make sure that whatever I'm doing to generate a paycheck is something ultimately, again, is something ultimately that has the ability to sustain my spirituality and not chas shom de kamaz. Abba said with this we'll end. Tanya, Rabbi Noro Yomer. Rabbi Norai says, I'm going to go ahead and put aside all other trades in the world, and I'm only going to teach my son Torah. Because normally when it comes to a profession is only good what? When you're young and you have the ability to produce. But say in your old age, right, when you can no longer work in your field, then what? Then what? Then lamaisa, again, you starve. You starve, meaning in other words, right? What's the expression in the Welt? You eat what you kill, you eat what you hunt, right? It's good, right? So right, you eat right, you eat what you hunt, you eat what you kill, you reap what you sow. Meaning, and if you can't hunt anymore, if you can't sow anymore, then lemaise at the end of the day, you're done. But however, about Torah, ain't okay. Rabbi say Torah is not like this. Omedes lo li adam be'esi al duso. Rabbi say Torah, person has his Torah when in his youth. Venostenes lo acharis to think of a basic nusa. Rabbi say Torah, it gives me the best retirement plan out there. Torah allows me to put away for my spiritual future. Hare is the Gemara says be'esi al duso ma'omer. Omer. Rabbi say the idea that the Gemara is saying over here is the beauty of spirituality is, it's yours. You know, your money could come and go. Your profession could come and go. The one thing we own in life, even your relationships come and go, right? Person can't guarantee, it sounds morose, but a person can't guarantee that I hold on to anyone or anything in life. The only thing in life I own, the only thing in life that is really mine, is my ruchnius, is my Torah. That which I acquire becomes mine forever, becomes mine ultimately in my youth and in my old age. So the Gemara says, Be'isal du so ma omer, in his youth, what does it say? The Kovei Hashem Yachalifu Koach, Ya'alu Evar Kansharim. The Pasuk says, those who put their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find renewed strength. Ya'alu Evar Kansharim, they will be like the wings of eagles. Bizik Nuso Ma'o Omer. And ultimately, in his old age, what does it say? Old Yunuvun Biseva Deshenim Vera Anonim Yihiyu. And the Pasuk says, even in his old age, he will continue to ultimately be fruitful, will continue to be able to sing. Therefore, Rabbi Noroi says, at the end of the day, so we pass, and of course, that there has to be some combination of both. To just learn Torah, I mean, obviously, it works for some Yechidi school, it works for some. But as a derech, as an approach to life, to just learn by itself won't work. But lamaisa again, to be able to have a parnasa that is able to sustain me on a material level, but is also to be able to sustain my ruchnius. A parnasa ultimately, again, that allows me to learn, that allows me to do chesed, that allows me to do mitzvos. We'll say that represents the combination of both beautiful worlds. Then a person is able to accomplish something for the greater world. The person is able to hopefully make their imprint on greater society. But a person is able also to maintain and to nurture that Torah that's there for them and it's there in their youth. We'll say, staff over here, just take a moment. This is a very important moment for us now, as we're not making the official Siyum Mirat Hashem until second day of Shavuos at the Siyum. Ari sent out the information. We'll send it out again, I'm sure. But we should just take a moment just to pause and reflect and to say, Shechianu v'kimanu v'giyonu lazman hazeh. What is the chusid is that morning after morning, we have the privilege to be able to learn the Ribono Shel Olam's Torah. We have the privilege to be able to see the beautiful words of Chazal morning after morning. And for us, the only nisayon we have is a little less sleep. It's the only nisayon. It's the only thing that stands between us and learning is a little bit of sleep. And I'm not minimizing it. It's a huge challenge. When we look in the historical continuum of Klal Yisrael, it's nothing. There's no persecution. There's no anti-Semitism. There's no thing, I'm going to get beat up on the way to shul. Actually, that is a concern. I take that back. An incredible zechus we have to learn every single morning. And I just want to say on a personal level, now that we're coming to the end of Maseches Kiddushin, it's Kasha Alai Predascha Maseches Kiddushin, such a beautiful Masechta. But it's been such a zechus to learn every single morning with each of you. It's been such a zechus to be able to build beautiful relationships, but meaningful relationships. Not relationships built on, shared common sports teams, which are very nice, or shared common interests in recreational activities, but real friendships that are rooted in Torah. Real friendships that are built around a joint interest in growing and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should be Zoche Mirtz Hashem to emerge, although Kiddushin was about marriage, but Kiddushin, like the rest of Torah, also endows us with an additional measure of Kiddusha. We should be Zoche Mirtz Hashem, that we should take the Kiddusha of Maseches Kiddushin and the Kiddusha of all the other Masechtos in the Seder Nashim. We should, Mirtz Hashem, take that Kiddusha with us as we begin Maseches Seder Nezikin, Maseches Baba Kama, Mirtz Hashem B'Shato, Maseches Tomorrow. We'll say we should be Zoche Mirtz Hashem to be successful in our Parnas, like we saw in the Mishnah. We should be Zoche Mirtz Hashem to be successful in our Ruchnios. We should be Zoche Mirtz Hashem to find the Koach to continue to serve our Kaddish Baruch at the early hours of the morning, each and every day. We should be zochet to grow together. We should be zochet to accomplish together. We should be zochet to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachos together. We should be zochet to mesayim shas together. And most importantly, we should be zochet in the zechus of our collective learning to welcome the Melech HaMashiach together. M'hei Rabbi Aminu. Amen. Amen.
Everybody, my friend. Everybody, the